Stand by for the fastest 60 minutes in Jewish radio. It's time for the Jewish Experience. And welcome back. Your special surprise Purim program is only a week away. I am Hirsch DeLynn, your host, and you are tuned in to Pittsburgh's only Jewish radio program, The Jewish Experience. The parsha this week is Truma. Now the Jewish people are given an amazing opportunity to contribute to the building of the Mishkan, the holy sanctuary in the desert. They contribute 15 materials, gold, silver, copper, different types of wool, animal skins, woods, olive oil, spices, and gems. All because the one above commanded them to build a sanctuary so that he could dwell among them. The Mishkan contained the menorah to light up the world, the shulchan to hold the challahs, and the Aron Kodesh, the Ark of the Covenant, to hold the tables of the law. And speaking of sanctuary, our staff provides the best sanctuary away from the problems of the week with the best in educational Jewish radio with Musical Moish, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, Rabbi Yosef Eisen, and Ms. Devorah DeLint. So sit back and enjoy 60 minutes of the best Jewish radio in Pennsylvania. We'll have your community announcements and mazel tovs along with current news fresh from Israel National Radio coming up on the half hour. And please, don't forget to take time now to make a resolution to support Jewish radio in Pittsburgh. You can sponsor your favorite segment each week. Send an email to jewishexperience@verizon.net or call us at 412-979-5770. And, you know, we'll let you in on all the details. If you want to hear us on the air each week, you should write a check now and become a partner in this exciting endeavor. Rabbi Goldwasser's Torah lesson is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo, and the community news and announcements is sponsored by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. The popular feminine perspective is sponsored by Lens Landscaping, and Rabbi Eisen's Moment in Jewish History is still available for sponsorship. So you want to give us a call right now and try to reserve that spot before somebody else gets it. Rabbi Goldwasser's popular story segment is sponsored by Roladin. Remember, if you enjoy listening to our program, your financial support is critical to making this program available to you in your homes each week. The entire staff works hard to bring you the best in Jewish programming, but we do rely on your generous support. As always, we thank our regular sponsors, Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, Next Generation Financial Services, First Mariner Bank, and the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra, led by our own Musical Moishi and Artistic Photography. Don't forget to ask for a special gift of a beautiful refrigerator magnet that is yours free when you call us at 412-979-5770, or you can send us an email at jewishexperience@verizon.net. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:46 p.m.
Well, we're back at the JE. Amazing how time flies. Now you get busy with the week, and what do you know? It's Friday, Erev Shabbos once again. So let's get you started and in the mood for another Shabbos. And brand new, just added to the archives, Mendy Wald and Echad. I'm Moshe Pekar, and you're tuned in and good to go on the JE.
Ah, 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 ah. Rabbi Goldwasser's Parsha segment this week is sponsored by Reb Yisrael Zerlo in honor of the Refuah Shlema of Klal Yisrael for the healthy recovery of all the people of Israel. And now, our resident rabbi, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
In the Torah's command concerning the half shekel, particular emphasis is laid on the necessity of giving half of a whole shekel. This is difficult to understand, since one must always try to give the best to Hashem. Why did the Torah request only half a shekel? Moreover, since this mitzvah was to atone for the sin of idolatry, the sin of denying God's unity, a far more appropriate gesture of reparation would surely have been the giving of a whole coin, a whole sum. Yet the Torah insists on a half shekel. To atone for the sin of the golden calf, it was not required of the Jew that he give to the Almighty a whole shekel. Instead, he was to give half a shekel, signifying that the unity of Hashem and his people is not like the union of two separate entities in which each party remains a separate, distinct individual. Rather, the oneness of a person with his Maker is such that together they form one whole. The Jew without Hashem is incomplete and unfulfilled, a mere half. Only by joining with Hashem does he become a whole, complete person. As the previous Rebbe used to say, no person is either willing or able to be separate from godliness. As for Hashem, the Talmud tells us that Hashem says, they are my children under all circumstances. To exchange them for another is unthinkable. The person and his creator are two individual halves, together forming a complete whole, a perfect unity.
Oh,
Retirement can be a wonderful reward for years of hard work, but it can also be stressful as you deal with questions about how to maintain your standard of living while protecting what you worked so hard for. What if I told you that you could generate extra cash flow without touching a penny of your savings, investments, or current income? If you or someone you love is 62 years or older and owns their own home, they may be able to take advantage of a federally regulated program called a home equity conversion mortgage or reverse mortgage. Seniors all across the U.S. are using reverse mortgages to increase their cash flow for purchasing long-term care insurance, putting grandkids through college, making charitable donations, paying off credit card debt, paying for prescription drugs, buying vacation homes, and paying for much-needed home repair. Call for a free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet today. Get the facts and help yourself and your family through a reverse mortgage. Call Andy at 412-562-2220 for a free copy while supplies last. Again, that number is 412-562-2220 for your free copy of the Homekeeper Mortgage Consumer Fact Sheet. First Mariner Bank is an equal housing lender.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now for The Forward, 800-992-3333. That's 800-992-3333. All around us, life is moving faster and faster. Things are changing all the time. And it's a comfort to know in your time of need that at Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, the Jewish tradition continues. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home has served the Pittsburgh Jewish community since 1947 and has recently remodeled its entire facility to better serve you. Burton Hirsch Funeral Directors are members of the Jewish Funeral Directors Association and work closely with area rabbis to ensure that your needs as a Jewish family are totally met. Their attentive and compassionate guidance results in treating each family as their own. I personally met with Michael Hilgefort, and did you know that Burton Hirsch Funeral Home is even involved with community educational programs to ensure that Jewish families know what to do to have a proper burial? In your time of special need, call Squirrel Hill's only Jewish funeral home, Burton Hirsch, at 412-521-2600. That's 412-521-2600. They welcome your request to visit and tour their state-of-the-art facilities. Burton Hirsch Funeral Home, proud sponsors of the Jewish Experience, 412-521-2600. Now it's time for A Moment in Jewish History with the author of Miraculous Journey, Rabbi Yosef Eisen.
The conservative movement. In 1887, a group of Jews angered by the deviations of the reform movement wanted change, yet did not want to be completely Torah observant. For example, at the first graduation of Hebrew Union College in 1883, in what became known as the Trefa Banquet, shrimp, frog legs, clams, and milk and meat were served. They opted for a compromised, watered-down version of Torah Judaism, which became known as Conservative Judaism. This purely American spin-off from traditional Judaism experienced enormous growth and eventually overtook Reform in numbers of temples and adherents. Their rabbinical school became known as the Jewish Theological Seminary, JTS, and the famous professor Solomon Schechter became its head in 1902. Conservative temples were joined in an organization called United Synagogues of Conservative Judaism, or USCJ. While retaining more observances than Reform Jews, the conservative movement also denies the divine origin of the Torah. Halacha is viewed as an arbitrarily man-made. Therefore, it is presumed that Torah law can be universally changed to fit the times. The most egregious example of this attitude is the conservative movement's official dispensation to drive to synagogue on the Sabbath. predicated on the erroneous belief that in the modern era, synagogue attendance overrides Sabbath observance. Currently, much tension exists between the Reform and Conservative movements on one side and Orthodox Judaism on the other. The non-observant groups want recognition as legitimate expressions of Judaism, something that Orthodox Jews, in the spirit of the great 19th century German rabbis, cannot afford them. Fighters against Reform in America. Due to the very small number of learned Jews in the United States and the lack of a community structure, the struggle against Reform in America in the 1800s was much more difficult than in Europe. Nevertheless, some courageous individuals fought for upholding the Torah. Isaac Leiser of Philadelphia, a man of prodigious energy, produced the first Jewish translation of the Tanakh in English, completed English translations of the Ashkenazic and Sephardic Siddurim, founded a Jewish newspaper, and wrote textbooks for Jewish schools, all in the spirit of Torah true Judaism. This is Rabbi Yosef Eisen, wishing you a happy and healthy Shabbos.
Exactly how I'd like for it to be, but I have a certain feeling Hashem is watching me. I won't let fears and worries steal the joy out of my day. Just think positive and problems melt away. Stop, don't think about it. Be thankful every day.
Don't think about it.
Be thankful every day.
I want brand new day.
Yep, tomorrow is a brand new day, and it's up to you what you do with it. Anyways, if you like what you just heard, or you have an idea for a future song you'd like played on an upcoming show, please email me, Moshe Pekar, at keyplayer@hotmail.com, and we'll play something special just for you.
This week's news segment is brought to you by Kramer's Windows and Glass Block. When your requirements call for replacement windows or glass block, call Ed at 412-848-2262. That's 412-848-2262.
Now, from the Israel National Radio Newsroom, here's Ernie Singer.
The annual intelligence report being presented to the cabinet Sunday speaks of a low probability for war in 2007. The report, a joint compilation by Israel's three main intelligence arms, military intelligence, the Mossad, and the General Security Service, known in Hebrew as Shin Bet or Shabak. However, there appear to be conflicting opinions on this matter in Israel's intelligence community. Defense Minister Amir Peretz and other defense sources disagreeing with Brigadier General Yossi Baidatz, head of the Military Intelligence Research Department, who said this past week that the military strength of Hezbollah terrorists was greater today than it was on the eve of the fighting in Lebanon in July 2006. Quoting Baidatz before the Knesset, in our estimate, the Syrians are preparing for the possibility of war in the region, perhaps through a provocation by a third party. Experts say the Mossad sees Syrian President Bashar Assad's apparent peace overtures as an act of deception, while the military thinks Assad may mean what he says. American Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has told officials in the administration of Prime Minister Ehud Olmert to keep their distance from Syria. The Prime Minister has said that the stage is not ready for negotiations with Damascus, but that low-level exploratory talks can take place. An officer of the United Nations Interim Forces in Lebanon has told the London Guardian that the Lebanese army has made a deal with Hezbollah, allowing its terrorist guerrillas to patrol certain areas in southern Lebanon. The report also says that Hezbollah activity is increasing north of the Litani River, which is outside UNIFIL jurisdiction. The newspaper also reporting that UNIFIL has failed to keep the Shiite Muslims in the area from rearming and that Hezbollah still dominates the south. Quoting leading Hezbollah terrorist Haj Ali of the village of Bin Jbil, site of some of the heaviest fighting between Hezbollah and Israel in 2006, "There will be another war in the summer. It is the beginning of the end for Israel. We are preparing." The report includes an assessment that war, if it will take place in 2007, is more likely to occur opposite Gaza terrorists than in Lebanon. The intelligence branches point to the proliferation of arms in Gaza and the Hamas effort to adopt Hezbollah tactics, according to the Idiot Achronot Daily's Ynet news service. A Qassam rocket launched by Gaza terrorists landing Friday morning in an open area of the Negev. No damage or injuries reported. Former Israeli Foreign Minister Silvan Shalom has called on the United Nations Security Council to put harsh sanctions in place against Iran, leading to its complete international isolation because of its nuclear development program. In an interview with government radio, Shalom called for sanctions like the ones that were put in effect against Libya and North Korea, which have yielded to international pressure when it comes to nuclear arms. Quoting Shalom, "We must stop being complacent in Israel, too. All Security Council resolutions must be such that enable military action against Iran so that Iran knows that if it does not freeze the nuclear project, it may be attacked." Aides to Defense Minister Peretz have told Yediot Achronot that he is prepared to go all the way and use full force to demolish hilltop communities beyond the 1949 ceasefire lines that the government deems illegal. Peretz previously has set several timetables to tear down the communities, but all the previous deadlines have passed. Sources close to the defense minister say this time he is ready to implement his plan, even if it means a confrontation with Prime Minister Olmert. They added that efforts to reach a compromise on the issue with nationalist leaders have failed. The Jewish World Morning Torah giant Avraham Blumenkrantz, who passed away Thursday from complications due to diabetes, sought after for his rulings on all aspects of Jewish law. Rabbi Blumenkrantz was especially world-renowned as the author of an annual Pesach guide which described in minute detail which items on the market are kosher for Passover and which ones are not. The guide also included a very large section on Pesach laws and customs. Will regulations by the World Trade Organization and United Nations agencies have an effect on your day-to-day ability to keep kosher? For a look at this question, listen to the Tamar Yonah Show on demand on the Internet at IsraelNationalRadio.com. Shabbat is Vav, the 6th of Adar on the Jewish calendar, and the weather forecast, warmer than usual through Shabbat morning with variable cloudiness on Friday and a chance of light local rain mainly in the north Saturday night. Occasional rain from the northern border to the northern Negev Sunday and Monday, with temperatures dropping to cooler than usual. In Jerusalem Friday, 22 degrees centigrade, 72 Fahrenheit. At the Red Sea, 30 degrees centigrade, 86 Fahrenheit. The Dead Sea, 28 degrees centigrade, 82 Fahrenheit. The Golan Heights, 21 degrees centigrade, 70 Fahrenheit. Beer Sheva, 25 degrees centigrade, 77 Fahrenheit. Ernie Singer, Israel National Radio.
Well, let's get some music going here. Yaakov Shweki, Brand New, and Coley.
Thank you.
Shehem Mogen Badi, I'm Mogen Badi. Kavoshi Umeidim Roashi, Umeidim Roashi. Deato Shehem Mogen Badi, I'm Mogen Badi. Kavoshi Umeidim Roashi, Kavoshi Umeidim Roashi.
Wish our brothers and sisters in the Holy Land a very peaceful and restful Shabbat.
Now we just want to wish a mazel tov to Ali Yidden for existing for as long as we have, with all the stuff going on in the world and with all the problems we have. A big, big mazel tov to the Jewish people who just keep charging on ahead.
And I want to wish a mazel tov to our webmaster, Rabbi Mordechai Saxon, and his wife, on the bas mitzvah of his daughter, Chaya Nechama Saxon, which will occur this Motzi Shabbos on 7 Adar, which is going to be on Sunday.
Yeah, let's take a look at some events. Chabad of Pittsburgh continues a new series from the Jewish Learning Institute, The Kabbalah of Character, to provide you with a wealth of practical tools to gain insight and to chart your path to personal growth. Wednesdays through March 14th at two locations, 7:30 p.m. at the Yeshiva Girls School or 12:15 p.m. downtown at the Heinz 57 Center. The meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous meets at Shari Torah every Sunday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. It is a recovery group very successful for people who cannot control their eating and or their weight. Many people in the Pittsburgh Jewish community are on the program and have done very, very well with it. If you want more information, call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, you can do it. They're complimentary. Please call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week is no later than 5:46 p.m. Feminine Perspective is brought to you each week by Lens Landscaping at 412-372-5215. Lens specializes in shrub and tree care and provides free estimates. Lens says, I'll treat your land like it was my own. Call Lens at 412-372-5215. And now, here's Deborah DeLynn.
What would you do if you were in the middle of the airport and it was time to daven mincha? Would you stop what you were doing and daven? In front of everyone? All of a sudden, you're feeling embarrassed. How could I possibly daven in front of everyone? They'll think I'm weird. They'll stare at me. This is a time to say to yourself, why am I here? Why am I, a Jewish girl, put onto this earth? Hashem created us, Yidden, to be a chosen people and a light unto the nations. The examples we set, the trends we follow, they are the things the world pays attention to. Look at the newspapers. Not a day goes by when Israel isn't mentioned. And there are a lot of other nations out there the same size as Israel who rarely get mentioned. If Israel does something, the whole world knows it. We knew, as did the whole world, that accepting the Torah would change us from the rest of the world. We might share physical characteristics, but our souls are different. A Jewish soul consists of two souls, an animalistic soul that spurs desire for physical things, and a godly soul which makes us yearn for spirituality. A non-Jewish soul has just one part. Of course, this is not to say that Gentiles cannot want spirituality. It just means that we're different from them. And you know what? We're supposed to be different. Our very dress, mannerisms, and customs say this. In fact, in the Havdalah, the ceremony that marks the conclusion of Shabbos, it says, "Blessed is God who made a separation between the Jews and the other nations." Our continued survival is dependent upon our differences. If we are careful to maintain our very special relationship to Hashem and keep our customs and traditions alive, we will merit continued existence. Every other civilization, from the ancient Romans and Greeks to the Vikings, have died out while we have persisted through the ages. In this week's Torah portion, Parshas Teruma, we learn about the many different kelim, vessels that were used in the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the desert. One of the objects used was the famed golden menorah. The menorah was used daily, all year round. The miracle of Hanukkah hadn't happened yet. The Torah goes into great detail to explain the exact configuration of the many ornaments of the menorah. The Rambam, Maimonides' description of the menorah is very well known. He maintains that the cups on the branches of the menorah were facing down, as if spilling their contents out. The Lubavitcher Rebbe learns from here that this detail of the cup's placement shows us the general purpose of the Mishkan and of the Beis HaMikdash, which is to spread light to the world, symbolized by the cup overturned. The Rebbe continues by pointing out that this idea of spreading light is shown in other places as well. The windows of the Mishkan were wide on the outside and narrow on the inside so as to maximize the amount of spiritual light going outside. Most windows in those days were narrow on the outside and wide on the inside to take in the most amount of light and to provide greater protection from enemies. The house of Hashem doesn't need protection from mere arrows. No enemies will be able to come in. It is our duty, and in truth, our honor, to be the lamplighters of the world. Don't be embarrassed to do the mitzvos, and the rest of the world will respect you and honor you the more for it. And of course, you'll be contributing to the continuation and the ultimate redemption of the oldest nation on earth. Have a good Shabbos. The
le shalom lo yechzor sheken achen vehevel ha'im ti oy vehevel ha'im ti yisho yisho yirah mirach Hashem
Rabbi Goldwasser's story segment is sponsored by Roladin, where you can get a complete Shabbat dinner for $36.99, which serves four with soup, fish, side orders, challah, and salad. Now accepting orders at 412-521-5555. 412-521-5555. And now, the Jewish Experience Master Storyteller, Rabbi Meir Goldwasser.
Reb Chaim Meir Yechiel Shapiro was raised and taught by his maternal grandfather, the Kuznetzer Magid. He married the granddaughter of the Rebbe Reb Melech of Lezhensk. Every year, he used to seek a trusty messenger in his town for a special mission. First, he would turn over to him a significant sum of money, carefully bundled. Then, after reminding him that he was being sent not just on behalf of the Rebbe and his family, but for the benefit of the entire community, he would give him a set of specific instructions. In those days in Europe, good quality esrogim were very difficult to come by. In many towns and villages, as in this one, there would be just one esrog for the entire Jewish people. The Rebbe always instructed his agent to locate and purchase a beautiful esrog, not to spare any effort to locate and acquire absolutely the best one available. One year, it was extremely difficult to find a good esrog. There were only a few esrogim to be found at all, and the agent that had been sent that year recognized right away that they were all far from satisfying the Rebbe's requirements. Day after day, the agent went from city to town, from town to village, but still was unable to find anything remotely suitable. As the Sukkot festival approached, and the agent was still empty-handed and far from home, he became increasingly anxious. Would this be the first year that his fellow townsmen and their esteemed Rebbe would not get to bless and perform the mitzvah with an outstanding esrog? Shuddering, he realized that he would have to turn back towards home if he were to arrive on time for Sukkot. He would have to buy the first esrog he came across, even if it were plain. As long as it was minimally kosher, it was unthinkable that the community should remain without any esrog at all. Late in the day, he arrived at a certain village and immediately turned into the small shul there to pray mincha. While there, he heard two of the local men talking. "Did you hear about the wealthy Almoni? This year he managed to buy the most beautiful, excellent esrog, a real mehudar." The agent hurriedly ascertained the exact whereabouts of Mr. Almoni. He speeded to the address as fast as he could, and then stood for a moment to catch his breath at the doorstep of the magnificent house. A servant admitted him and showed him into the rich man's study. The agent hesitated for a long moment. What should he say? How could he possibly convince this stranger to part with the esrog? All he could do was express his sincere feelings. He explained to his host about how the one that sent him was a genuine tzaddik. Almoni turned him down flat. He wasn't interested in any offers or explanations. The agent continued to plead. "You say your rabbi is a big tzaddik? That he is head and shoulders above the rest of us, and that all his life he has always performed mitzvahs in the most elevated manner possible?" A ray of hope sparkled in the agent's heart. "Yes, yes," he explained, "it's true." "If so, we can do business," said the rich man. "We'll pay any price you ask," the agent blurted excitedly. "Money is not the issue here," answered Almoni quietly. "I am always prepared to spend generously in order to enhance a mitzvah. But there is one thing I cannot buy. All these years, and I have no children." "Therefore," he continued, "I am prepared to give you my expensive esrog, but not for money. My price is that your holy rabbi should bless me to have a son, and that his blessing should come true within a reasonable period of time. If it comes to be, then the Estrig is my gift to him. But if not, then retroactively, your great rabbi and all his people will have blessed invalidly on an Estrig that is not theirs. The rich man looked the Rebbe's representative in the eye. Do you agree? Do you have a deal? The silence grew and permeated the room as the stunned agent considered how to respond. Finally, he came to the conclusion that really he had no choice and accepted the proposed conditions. Receiving the Estrig from the hand of its wealthy former owner, he set out straight for the home. The Rebbe carefully removed the covering, opened the box. Before his eyes was one of the most splendid Estrigs he had ever beheld. His joy knew no bounds, or so it seemed until the agent told him the conditions of the transaction. Then his ardor cooled instantly. He slowly rewrapped the Estrig, then he bent forward and held his face in his hands. For a long time, Rabbi Chaim Meir Yechiel sat absolutely still, engulfed in his holy thoughts. All right, he stated softly but firmly, I accept upon myself this difficult condition. I will do that which I am able, and bless Almoni, the rich man, that he and his wife should have a son. Now it is up to the Almighty to do his part. A year later, on Erev Rosh Hashanah, a small package arrived addressed to the Rebbe. Inside was an Estrig of superior quality, along with a note in the handwriting of Almoni that announced that a son had been born to him and his wife in early Elul a few weeks before, and he thanked the Rebbe for his blessing that had come to fruition. This is Rabbi Meir Goldwasser, wishing you all a good Shabbos.
Up another week before Purim edition of the Jewish Experience. A couple of reminders. Come out of Pittsburgh, new series, Jewish Learning Institute, The Kabbalah of Character, Practical Tools to Gain Insight, Wednesday through March 14th at two locations, 7:30 p.m. at the Yeshiva Girls School or 1215 downtown at the Heinz 57 Center. Don't forget, Meeting of Food Addicts and Recovery Anonymous, very successful program. You've got to give them a call. Shari Torah every Sunday evening. And you can call Ilana at 412-422-2224. If you'd like to have your Mazel Tovs on our program, please call us at 412-979-5770, or you can email jewishexperience@verizon.net by noon on Monday for that week's program. Don't forget, candlelighting time this week, no later than 5:46 p.m. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shabbat Shalom. Shabbat Shalom.